Dear friends, I have good news for you. The good news is we are going to end the series on the Lord's Prayer. Right? I think it's been some time that we have been dwelling on this particular prayer. It's a very powerful prayer, as I told you. I would encourage you, you know, many times I know it's very traditional, right? In a traditional church, they tend to recite the Lord's Prayer. Let me encourage you, at least once a day, right? Take time to recite the Lord's Prayer, right? Just reflecting as you're reciting the Lord's Prayer, just reflect, like, our Father, is God my Father? Am I, you know, seeing Him as my Father? Do I have that kind of intimacy with Him? And so I would encourage you as you recite the Lord's Prayer each day, right? Reflect on it, because it reminds us of who God is and who we are, right? And how we can live a Christian life in accordance to His will. And today, before we pray, you know, I thought, you know, when you look at the last phrase, it says, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Very interestingly, if you look at Matthew and Luke, right, when they wrote the Lord's Prayer, it is not there. This particular phrase is not there. But when you look at the churches today, we tend to recite by saying, right, your kingdom, your power, and your glory forever and ever. Just to give you a historical background before we pray, you know, it appears in the Didache. Didache means teaching, right? It's a document that was written during the end of the first century and the early part of the second century, right? And it was a very historical document, and it was a document that was used by the early church in terms of how do I live, how do I pray, you know, the kinds of prayer. Like in certain churches, they have catechism. So that was what was happening in the early church. And so they were just reciting the Lord's Prayer because they felt when Jesus taught them, He did not end with just evil or temptation, right? He wanted to end with God. And so they included these words. And then after some time, it was accepted by the Eastern Church. And then at the Second Vatican Council, the Catholic Church embraced it. And then it has become a tradition where, you know, every church recites the Lord's Prayer, including the phrase, right? Your kingdom, your power, and your glory forever and ever, right? Because when you look at the phrase, it gives us hope, right? It's not just trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ or even exercising faith in Christ. It gives us an eschatological hope. In other words, we know that Jesus is coming back, right? And so life is worth living. Living a Christian life is interesting because it's going to reward me. The Lord is coming back, and I'm going to be part of His kingdom when He is the King of this world. And so the Lord's Prayer concludes by teaching us, you know, that we can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can trust in Him, and our life is worth living. Look at the phrase very carefully. You know, it says, it starts with God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then it ends with God. And so even in our Christian life, it's important for us, right? Not only to start with God, but also to end with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for giving us this opportunity, O God, to look at your word. Your word is wonderful, O God. It nourishes our lives. It strengthens our life, O Father. Help us, O Lord, not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as I told you, you know, the Lord's Prayer starts with God, right? At the same time, it doesn't stop by talking about temptation or, you know, give us our daily bread and all these things are sandwiched, right? And it is, and also it ends with God. So the starting and ending is always important, right? As I told you, you know, finishing, all of us want to finish our race well, right? We want to finish it well, right? When we start our education, right? There are moments we have difficulties, but at the end of the day, we tell ourselves, you know, I want to finish well. Even in our career, wherever we are in our life, even in our marital life, right? We want not only to just have a good start, we want to have a good journey along the way, At the same time, I think what happens, we want to end it well. You know, I came across an article in the Reader's Digest. It says, the most important part of a story is the ending. No one reads a book to get to the middle, right? We want to see the ending. When you look at a movie, and it's so interesting, and we want to know how it ends. Sometimes we hope, you know, this movie will end in such a way because it gives real meaning to it. And similarly, when we look at our Christian life, not only it should start with God and end with ourselves. No, it should start with God and it should end with God, right? So the ending is important. You know, when we were worshiping today, I was looking at the phrases of the songs very carefully. If you realize, you know, many of the phrases was talking about our faithfulness must be for a lifetime, and we should finish it well, right? When the 10,000 songs, when Christ comes, right? We want to worship Him, right? We want to praise Him, and so our faithfulness must be for a lifetime. So it's important for us not only to have a good start of our Christian life. Let me tell you, there will be difficulties, there will be challenges along the way. Life or Christian life can be difficult in our moments. That's why we need the church, right? We need each and every one of you to be in the middle of someone's journey and to just be there to encourage, to help, and to motivate so that they too, together with us, right, will be able to finish the journey well. So it's important for us to end well. And so similarly, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's also talking about, as I said, the Lord's Prayer is not just reciting, but living the Lord's Prayer. We want to end our life. We want to finish the race, right? We want to finish the journey that God has given us, right, well. And so the first three things that we will see today is yours the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. So yours the kingdom. You know, when we were in, my wife and I, when we were in Europe, I was looking at some of the kingdoms of the world. And I realized they started well, right? Great establishment, they had a great influence, but they were temporal, right? And they just lasted for maybe 100 years and that's it. There's a point in their life, you know, the kingdom demolished or even decayed and fell, my friends. When you look at the Roman Empire very carefully, you know, Roman Empire during the time of Jesus was so powerful. But after Jesus, what was happening, right? It was just crumbling down in around the year 80, right? 410 or something like that. It just crumbled down totally, my friend. Look at the establishments of this world, the kingdoms of this world, the monarchies of this world. What happens? They lived, short-lived, probably 100 years or slightly more than that. And that's it. And so the Lord's Prayer teaches us, you know, that God's kingdom will always last. And that's why we finish with the word forever. Yours is the kingdom of God that lasts. You know, Daniel says this verse. If you look at this verse very carefully, you know, Daniel says in chapter 2, he says, in the times of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to tell ourselves, am I living for God's kingdom? Am I living for this world's kingdom? And so Daniel looks at it, you know, and says, you know, this God's kingdom will never be destroyed. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure forever. That's the kingdom of God, my friend. And let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you know, you belong to that kingdom. And your faith in Christ is there, is worth, my friend, because God's kingdom will always last. And yes, there are moments in our life, you know, we want to give up out God's kingdom. We want to give up God controlling our life. We want to give up God being the Savior or the Lord of our life. But, you know, let me encourage you. God's kingdom will always last. And so it's worth just clinging on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at another verse, you know, when Daniel speaks about rock, you know, he's actually talking about Jesus Christ, right? Just to tell you, he's just talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when John, right, in the island of Patmos, in Revelation 11:15, he talks about, you know, the kingdom of God has become the kingdom of our of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah. In other words, he sees a vision, the land of Patmos, right? And he sees that God's kingdom is going to be established. And that's God's kingdom. And so whenever we are praying the Lord's Prayer, you know, we are saying that the things of this world is going to be temporal. The kingdoms of this world is going to be temporal. It is not going to last long, my friend. But God's kingdom is going to last long. And I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be kingdom-minded Christian. I want to be living a life for God's kingdom. And that's why, you know, Jesus was saying, you know, the words, and he was encouraging the people by saying these words, right? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? And he's talking, because sometimes what happens, we live for this world, right? We want to be people of this world. We want to just live according to the patterns, the lifestyle of this world. And so Jesus is encouraging us. No, my friend, I was looking at a book called, it's a book that talks about today's culture. And today's culture, and so the book is saying, you know, today we have made ourselves the idol. We have become our own idol, my friend. And so the author says, you know, there is so much of emphasis on ourselves. It's not wrong to take care of ourselves because, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it has come to a position that God is no more important. What is happening? It's about I, it's about self, it's about me. And so the author, you know, beautifully talks about it and says, you know, we have become a very self-development. In other words, self has actually taken a lot of importance in our lives. And so we need to be very careful, right? So whether we are living for God's kingdom or we're living according to the patterns of the world. And that's why Jesus says, what good would it profit a man, right? If he gains the whole world but loses his life or his soul, right? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And so we need to be careful. So how do we translate this, your kingdom, into our lives, right? And so as a church, we need to be careful, including me as a pastor, because sometimes what happens, you know, as pastors, we want to, you know, establish our kingdom, our empire, our desire, our agenda, forgetting that the church belongs to God, that God is the head of the church. Even not only pastors, even leaders too, right? Sometimes what happens, you know, it's about our agenda, whether it's about God's kingdom established in our church, in our lives. And so I think that's important how we translate. At the same note, I think, you know, whether do we see ourselves as the only kingdom or do we see God as a kingdom? And importantly, is Christ our King, my friend? To be part of God's kingdom is asking ourselves, is Christ my King? Do I see myself, you know, just following the orders of the King? Today we live in a time and age we don't want to follow orders, right? We don't want to be told. We don't want to be, you know, told that we are supposed to be doing this. But I think, is Christ our King? Is Christ not just a resident in our life, my friend, but he is the main person in our life? So whenever we say, yours is the kingdom, we are acknowledging God's kingdom, that his kingdom will last forever, right? We are acknowledging, Lord, all these kingdoms of this world will not last, Lord. It's your kingdom that will last. And actually, at the same time, we're acknowledging, Lord, I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to be a person who will live a life for you. Secondly, I think your power, right? We live in an age and time, you know, it's difficult sometimes, right? To appreciate or even to, I shouldn't use the word appreciate. I think whenever we see power, you know, we always question it, right? We don't believe in absolute power kind of a thing. We want to be part of anything that involves decision and all that. Look at the world today, right? Look at the political scene in various countries, right? People are unhappy with establishments. Have you realized? Right? Just ordinary people as coming to leadership, because people, they don't want power. They don't want, where someone rules totally kind of a thing. We want to have a say. We want to be involved in decision-making kind of a thing. And so when you look at the world today, when the power lies in the wrong hands, it destroys. Right? Similarly, in the church life too, right? If the power lies in the wrong hands, it also destroys. Why is the world in a very chaotic, like when I say chaotic, in certain countries, we have advanced in many things. But if we look at the political scene in some of the situations of the country, what's happening? Because the power is in the wrong hands, my friend. And so when you look at the powers of this world, we realize, it's not helping us. And so power belongs to God. That's what the Bible says. Power belongs to God. And the writer, the psalmist, says in Psalm 62, right, he heard the Lord by saying, God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God, my friend. I think that's what the psalmist have heard from God say. And true power belongs to God. And I think God is a just God. He's righteous. He knows. When he exercises his power, he knows. And so when we say the Lord's Prayer, we actually acknowledging, Lord, real power belongs to you. Because you're a just God. You're a righteous one. You are the source of the power. You're the owner of power. When we look at God's power, let me just go through fast today, because I know we have communion. When I look at God's power, just to give you a glimpse what happens, I think we see God's creative power, right? And as you look at the world today, sometimes it's very complex. You don't understand the world. Let me tell you, you will never understand. Even the scientific world doesn't really understand about certain things, all that. But when you look at scriptures very carefully, Colossians 1:17, it says that God holds things together. Can you imagine? Right, that's the creative power of God. Right, if you believe in the Big Bang theory, maybe some of you might believe in the Big Bang theory, right? If it's true, I let me praise God, because it shows God's tremendous power. Right, He's able to create from nothing, and God creates things. That's a creative power, my friend. Look at the world, right? We talk about gravity and all that. There are certain things we cannot explain. That's the creative power of God. And we see it very clearly in the scriptures, right from the creation story. God's power creates out of nothing. God is always a creating God, right? It's a very powerful God. Secondly, when you look at God's power, is redemptive. It changes. It's the only power that can actually save our lives, my friend. It's only Jesus who is able to save our life. I've met friends who have embraced other faith, but they still struggle in their so-called spiritual journey. But it's the message of the cross that actually saves us. Right? The power of Jesus, the power of God actually saves us, that redeems us. And today, I think many of us are witnesses here. Because we say, once upon a time my life was like that, and today, I'm a Christian because God saved me. He saw me. My life has changed, right? We share testimonies like that. It's a redemptive power of God. And thirdly, God's power is transformative also. It transforms our life. Recently, my wife and I met a couple, right? Not from our church, from outside. In the conversation, the person was talking to us about the son. And the father was almost in tears when he shared with us and saying, my son got involved into drugs. He was a real drug addict. We tried everything possible to help. Even sent him for a program that cost him around $20,000 a year just to help him out, right? A reformative kind of a program. To reform the person, but nothing. Then he finally told me, you know, the good news is I sent him to some Christian organization. And today, he said, my son, you know, not only he worships God, but he writes songs, right? He wants to make his own album. He said, I tried everything, but I realized it's only God who can transform my son. I think that's the power of God, my friend. God's power creates out of nothing. It holds everything, like Colossians says, right? And it sustains all things, like what Hebrews says. God's power is so, you know, even if we don't understand certain things, it redeems people. Right? You have seen people who are worse, but then suddenly they come and say, and I'm a Christian. Sometimes you wonder, can this person be a Christian? Yes. Can you imagine? Paul was always after people, Christians. He was after the church, persecuting the church. You know, and then one day the Lord met him and he became a Christian. Even the Christians were doubting. Ananias was saying, Lord, this man, how do I go and pray for him? Because this man is destroying your people. But the Lord said, you know, I've chosen Paul. He's my chosen instrument. It's the redemptive power of God, my friend. If your friends or relatives, you know, are struggling, let me tell you, pray for them. Share the gospel, because it's only Christ that redeems, my friend. And God can transform their life. And that's the power of God. You know, so whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, do we realize that God's power is so powerful, my friend? Or are we doing just lip service by saying, your kingdom, your power? When you use the word power, realize that God can do anything, everything, right? Under the sun, he's able to do everything. Look at the next one, right? Your glory. Let me finish by saying, you know, it's about, and you know, just one more verse, I think, right? Another word, when I look at the word power, right? I've realized when you look at the early disciples and even apostles, you know, can you imagine? When I was, you know, in this Europe trip, I was telling myself, I want to read the Acts of the Apostles. So throughout my journey, I was just reading, meditating, just studying, you know, the Acts of the Apostles, nothing else. I was just reading it over again, trying to read and to understand. And I realized, you know, the apostles went through a lot of difficulties and challenges. But then, you know, what was happening? That God gave them the power to go through, right, the difficulties and challenges. And that's the power of God. That's the power of God. The disciples went through hard time, that they could have easily given up Christianity for their own comfort, but they did not. It's the power of God that gives them the endurance, the patience to withstand all these things, right? And that's why Paul says, you know, my life is worth living for Jesus Christ. And so if you're going difficulties, let me tell you, ask God to give you the power. If you're struggling in your life, let me encourage you. Pray. Say, Lord, I need your power, O God. I cannot. I need your power to give me patience, endurance, O God, to face the struggles and the challenges of this world. So whenever you're reciting the Lord's Prayer, never underestimate God's power. It's powerful, my friend. It helps us, right? Your glory, right? Then I think it's your glory refers to who God is, right? Jesus always, you know, talks about in the prayer also, if you look at it, the entire phrase, right? You realize Jesus is using the word glory 9 times in the particular passage. You know, I think when you look at the Westminster Catechism, it says the chief end of man is to glorify God. Lord, it's about your glory. It's not about me. So whenever we're doing the Lord's Prayer, we're actually telling God, Lord, I want to live a life for you. I want to glorify your name, O God. I want to lift the name of Jesus high. It's not about, you know, that others will see me and say, you know, this person is so wonderful or powerful. It's about Jesus and it's about his glory. So when we do the Lord's Prayer, it's actually a checklist to see whether am I living for my glory or am I living for God's glory. Jesus lived for God's glory. He wanted to magnify God's glory. And so when we sin, what happens? We fall short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3, 20-23 talks about it. So when I live for life for Jesus, what happens? Right? The glory of God is upon me. John 1, 14 talks about, right? The word of God dwells among us. And what's happening? God's glory is upon us, my friend. And today, let me tell you, God's glory is upon us. Right? He is with us. He's strengthening us. He's encouraging us. Let me finish with the word forever and amen. Right? I think it's very clear, right? Your power is forever, God. Your glory is forever, God. Your kingdom is forever, God. Right? I think that's why I want to have hope in the Lord, or exercise my trust in God, because this God is not a temporal God. He's a forever God, right? His kingdom will last, His power will last, His glory will last. And I can dwell in His presence. And lastly, the word Amen. I think many of us know what is the word Amen. Am I right? Hello? Hello? I hope my voice is not, I hope my voice is familiar to you, right? Right? What is Amen? Amen means, right, and so be it. So that's why whenever we pray, you know, I would like to hear the word Amen. So we are saying, Lord, and so be it. So in a church, like maybe today after, in a corporate prayer, when we pray together, we are actually saying collectively, Lord, as a church, so be it. Lord, and we want it to be our request to you. So it's important for us, right? And sometimes, you know, when we pray, we try to swallow the word, Amen. Next time, when you're finishing the word, shout it out, right? Amen. Because, you know why? It will happen in Jesus' name. And lastly, if you read Revelations 1:14, you know, Jesus is our Amen. Jesus is our Amen. In other words, yes, right, in Christ's name. Yes, in Christ's name. And Revelation ends by saying, Amen, Lord, come again. And so, I think it's important for us, even when we say prayers together, let others hear the word Amen, because you are saying, Lord, and so be it in Jesus' name. And so be it, Lord, in Jesus' name. It's only in Jesus' name it's possible, because it's only in Jesus' power it's possible. It's only in Jesus' kingdom it's possible. It's only in Jesus' glory it's possible. Not other name, not any other name, my friend. Before I pray, let me encourage you, right? And I know it's very traditional to say the Lord's Prayer. It's only, we say it's only for traditional churches. Let me encourage you. When you say the Lord's Prayer, you know, in just trying to understand its meaning, at the same time, you know, just reflecting on those words, it will transform our lives. Let's pray.
sing There's a Place.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes slowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran away and my sin washed away, I yield to you, I yield to you, Jesus.
Let's all stand. There's a place.
There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness.
Where all the love,
where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes slowing down.
Sing at the cross.
At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran away and my sin washed away, I yield to you, I yield to you. Here, my hope is found here, on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here, my soul belongs here, you sing my life. Here I bow down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran away and my sin washed away, I yield to you, I yield to you. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran away and my sin washed away, I yield to you, I yield to you, Jesus.
During the time of in Luke, when you read in chapter 22 about speaks about his kingdom. At the same time, he says he will sup with us next time in his kingdom. Yes, when we come together, the presence of God is here. The presence of God is around this table, my friend. The presence of God is also with us. And as we come, we are just remembering his presence and his power and his might. And then let me read, and these are the words of St. Luke in chapter 22, verses 14 onwards. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What a powerful God, right? He gave himself by saying, this is my body, just given for us, because he wants us to be part of his kingdom. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. I thank God because what Jesus did at the cross, today we can live a life, forgiven life. We can live a life, a changed life. And we can also help others in their journey too. And so my friend, as we partake this communion, let us be reminded, right? And the presence of God is here. When we say, Lord, I come to your table, we're exercising faith, we're exercising hope, we're exercising trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are saying, Lord, I want to be your witness. I want to live a life the way you live, O God. So please come. Please come and be part of this celebration.